Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Monday evening in New York. A beautiful Monday, by the way. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
So I've been a ticket licensee for you. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, right here.
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Michael.
It was quite a moment on the show. And I'd like to say good evening to Don as well.
Michael is my daddy.
And I'd like to say hello to High Pitch Griffin.
Nobody's going to win!
Well, guys, we talked about it on Friday. You know, Michael had told me on Thursday, he said what, you know, what Drew Brees doesn't need is for Donald Trump to jump into this conversation. And I said, Michael, I don't really think that's going to happen. And lo and behold, guess what happened? Trump did jump in. And on Friday, we talked about the prospect of how problematic that could be for Drew Brees. What would he do? Would he respond? And turns out, Brees did decide to respond. And really, you guys wouldn't say he didn't like go up and in by any means, anything like that. It was a pretty measured statement in which, you know, basically the president had said to him, had said he wished that Drew Brees hadn't apologized and that everyone should respect Old Glory and stand up tall and all that kind of stuff. And Drew Brees wrote to President Trump, "Through my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, and leaders in the black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It never has been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities." He goes on and on. "We as a white community need to listen and learn from the pain and suffering of our black communities. We must acknowledge the problems, identify the solutions, and then put this into action. The black community cannot do it alone. This will require all of us." And then Drew's wife doubled down, echoing the same message over the weekend. Well, Trump last night jumped back into the conversation and said, "Could it be even remotely possible that in Roger Goodell's rather interesting statement of peace and reconciliation, he was intimating that it would now be okay for the players to kneel, all caps, or not to stand for the national anthem, thereby disrespecting our country and our flag?" A really interesting tone in that tweet.
Yeah, kind of passive-aggressive, which is not the president's way.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not used to it. I thought I kind of know all of his different tones that he does on tweets. But this one, the "could it even be remotely possible?" It's just a strange tone to read. But we'll see. So he goes, he took the shot at Drew Brees. Now he directs it right back to Roger Goodell to try to get that conversation going again about kneeling for the national anthem when the season starts in September.
You know what I always find interesting about the president when he gets into these Twitter wars with certain people? Like, I mean, Steve Kerr has come out and said really the most pointed things about Donald Trump. So has Greg Popovich. And now Drew Brees went right back at him. And the president, who has never found a fight that he doesn't want to take part in, has not answered them back. He does not go right back at them. And that's kind of odd. Maybe he also senses, and he has a good feel for this sort of stuff, that this is a battle that I might not be able to win right now.
Well, he's always been interesting, the ones that he's chosen, the ones that he's laid off. You know, Eminem once did like a 10-minute a cappella attack on the BET Awards where he lambasted Trump for 5, 6 minutes. and literally said things like, in the rap, said things like, if you're a fan of mine and you're like, and you're upset that I'm doing this, I don't want you as my fan. If you're a supporter of his, I don't want you as my fan. I mean, Eminem went completely in. Nothing. There was not a word ever mentioned about it. But, you know, LeBron James will say sort of like a stray thing here, and it'll get like a full attack. So it's hard to figure out, and we'll see how this goes. But listen, it's another storyline for the NFL season. But as you pointed out the other day, Michael, the NFL's probably happy they don't have to deal with the season right now.
Right, because it would be really ultra hot at this point if the game was this Sunday. Mm. So, I mean, things could change in a great many ways by September, middle of September.
But if anything is going to change between now and September, it's probably going to change toward kneeling for the anthem not being something that the overwhelming majority of people will be freaked out about. That's where it's trending towards. And if you're kind of waiting for this will die down, well, exactly when? George Floyd died, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And the marches are still happening. The protests are still happening. So if you're kind of waiting for it, the steam to kind of run out, it seems like they've risen to the challenge of that not happening.
Now, a lot of people have weighed in on the Drew Brees situation, and some people, it seemed to be a mixed bag. Some people seemed satisfied with what he said. Some people not as satisfied. Let's hear from Malik Jackson, who says that he is ready for the Eagles to play Drew Brees, and he doesn't forgive Brees.
I don't accept his apology. I think he's only apologizing because of people came for him. People are disagreeing with him, and he understands his basis in Louisiana is a lot of black people. So, hell, whatever happens, it must be nice to make $25 million a year and have that stance.
That's a rough
take, man. Because, I mean, what does the guy have
unfair.
To do?
It's unfair.
I mean, what does the guy have to do? I mean, he's done everything he could possibly do. Now,
but you made the
point.
We
thought it was a little fast, but what more can you do?
And I understand the anger, okay? I get it. But there has to be some forgiveness. Otherwise, then we really can't all just kind of figure it out. There's a lot of people that just don't understand. Isn't it possible Drew Brees was one of those people, and now he's beginning to understand? And if you shout him down, well, then that might discourage other people to, like, well, why should I apologize if it's not going to be accepted? I mean, I understand there's a lot of people who are just going to apologize for the sake of apologizing. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to kneel for the sake of kneeling. There's a lot of people that are tweeting things out for the sake of tweeting out. We're never really going to know who completely believes in everything until it's all said and done. But there's got to be a little bit more forgiveness, Peter, right? I mean,
there's no timeline for having to forgive someone, though. If you find just because he apologized immediately doesn't mean you have to accept it immediately.
That almost sounded like there's almost no chance of forgiving him. And I don't know if that was before or after he went after Trump, but doesn't that show that maybe the apology is a little bit more genuine than you first thought, because now he's kind of standing by that apology? So I get the anger, and listen, I guess whatever timeline you want, but
I could argue either way. Sometimes I feel what Brees has done has been impressive, and sometimes I still don't know if he decided it was too unpopular.
You encounter this more than I do, but we've all kind of had that conversation with people, right? And you try to give your side, and you could tell the ones that are receptive to it and like, I never thought of it that way, and the ones that are just not going to listen. Well, the ones that are not going to listen, if all of a sudden they apologize, well, then you're probably not going to accept it. But if there's somebody that just doesn't seem like they're getting it, and you talk to them and have a conversation, it's not like Drew Brees was a bad guy before this happened, right? I mean, is this really the only check in the wrong category to some people that he said that on Yahoo Finance? I mean, he's done so much for the community of Louisiana. I can understand, Peter, if he had some sort of a history that you could say, oh, I'm not going to forgive him, but there was the one perceived misstep. He apologized for it. He backed it up by going after the president. If you're not going to forgive Drew Brees, then are you willing to forgive anybody?
And Peter's right. You don't have to forgive.
No. Nor do you have to do it immediately. You know, Drew Brees held this stance for 4 years. And then he has 2 days where he's showing a different side. I understand wanting to go like, yeah, it doesn't move me at all. I'll wait and see. I get it.
Interesting. If you read Peter King's Football Morning in America column, he said sources close to Brees were somewhat befuddled that the guys on his team took to Twitter to attack him after his statement rather than just call him up. Used a reference in there where Peter had to end up taking it out. This source close to Brees compared it to Lord of the Flies. And he had to take that out because a lot of people were upset. And they said that was not the right image to use. But, the general theme of what he wrote was that Brees was a little bit put off that his teammates that he knows and they've shared all these experiences wouldn't just call him up and say, that's weak that you did that. Instead, they went to Twitter.
Well, how many of his teammates did that?
Thomas, Davis, I think there was one, and there's one other guy.
Where's my question? I mean, I guess it probably depends on how much regular contact you've been in with those people.
Right.
If they're people you text with every day, I would think it's weird. If they're people you don't talk to once they walk away from the building, I don't know. Is it really that surprising? I don't know if I would. It depends on my relationship. I usually try to reach out to the person directly if I find that they said something that I found really weird. But anyways, Adrian Peterson says that he will without a doubt be taking a knee in the 2020 season. He said, quote, just 4 years ago, you're seeing Kaepernick taking a knee, and now we're all getting ready to take a knee together going into this season without a doubt. And again, to your point, Michael, though, what does that mean? If there's a team with, if you have 53 players on a team and 43 of them feel passionately about doing it, are the other 10 really not going to take the knee? Or are they all just going to take the knee regardless of how they actually feel?
It's going to be interesting because then the person that or the people that don't take the knee, those will be the newsmakers. They'll be the ones.
Oh, yeah.
That
the pendulum is completely swung. Now they will televise, because they usually don't in the regular season, televise the anthem. Matter of fact, the anthem is obnoxiously early before the start of the game. Like, if you go to a football game, it's not like they play the anthem and then, boom, they run on the field and kick off. It's several minutes before kickoff, and half the building's not even in there. So most of the network's in commercial. So they will most likely air it like they did last year. Who's kneeling? Now it'll be, all right, who's standing? Because I think you will be in the minority if you stand. Maybe. That's what I think anyway.
And a lot of could change by September.
Don, did you watch the NASCAR in Atlanta yesterday?
I saw the replay. I did not watch it. It was a lot of pool time this weekend, so I did not watch the race. But I saw what happened.
So some pretty cool stuff beforehand. There was a moment before the race started where all the drivers revved their engines together in solidarity, and a statement was read by the president of NASCAR supporting Black Lives Matter. And then Bubba Wallace, who was outspoken specifically on this issue. I believe Bubba's biracial.
Mm-hmm.
And then spoke afterwards, after coming in 21st place, and ended up fainting, or appeared to be that he fainted during an interview on live television.
That was scary.
And afterwards, turns out that he's fine, but you're seeing him with the mic in his hand, and all of a sudden, his eyes look like they just roll back. And he's just completely gone and has to get held up by his crew. But, it turns out, as scary as it was to watch, he was just emotional and tired. He'd just been asked about the poignancy of NASCAR's recognition of racial injustice before the race, and he just passed out.
Yeah, this happened to Ricky Rudd years ago in Delaware.
I thought you were going to say Ricky Bobby. I really did.
No, it was Ricky Rudd. And listen, we always get in that debate, are they athletes or whatever, but the endurance of being in a hot car, they don't have like air condition in there, and you get a really hot day, and you don't get to leave the car, and you only get sometimes any kind of liquid when you get the pit stop. You You're exhausted, and heat exhaustion is something that commonly happens. And if you're caught up in the moment and you're emotional and you don't rehydrate and you don't take that second, yeah, you could pass out. It's fairly common.
By the way, if anyone was in the mood yesterday to watch Black Excellence destroy overrated and overhyped European ideals, well, yesterday NBC replayed Serena Williams versus Maria Sharapova from 2013, which you can always count on to just be an absolute whooping, which it was. Did you guys watch any other replay sports over the weekend, anything classic? Or, Don, you were just strictly pool.
Yeah. It was a lot of pool.
A lot of Marco jumping in head first.
Oh, yeah. Now he does this thing where he does the – now he's doing the Nesty plunge. You guys remember that?
Does he know what the Nesty plunge is?
Of course. A lot of our audience doesn't know.
That is that from the Rodney Dangerfield vehicle?
No, you have a glass of Nesty in your hand, and you fall backwards into the pool.
Into the pool.
It's true. I have an indoor pool.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of a – it's an older reference. It's kind of a, like an 80s commercial that you're so refreshed by the Nesty iced tea – that it feels like you just went to a pool. So the guy takes a sip and he just falls back into the pool.
That's I thought you were referring to the triple Lindy.
Falling forward is not good enough anymore. Now he's got to fall backward. You know, so
you've
got
to teach that young man some fear.
Ah, listen, he's 2.5. Life will put the obstacles up in due time. Right now, the swimmies are just amazing because they can't sink.
Do you think you could teach him the triple Lindy, Don?
I don't know if anybody can talk the triple Lindy, but I could tell you when he's of age, he will be watching Back to School. That's like almost mandatory viewing.
Back to School is a very, very, a very good film.
The closest thing to sports that I had, Don will remember this. Remember, Don, Peter might even be with us at this point. There was a company that sold hoverboards.
Oh, yeah.
That they were an advertiser on our show. Mm-hmm. So they had sent me a hoverboard. And I never took it out of the box.
Well, they started catching fire too. So,
well, yeah, but not that company, not the one that advertised with us. So,
no,
it was in the garage all the time. And Callie kept asking me, "My friend has one." I said, "You're 7 years old. You can't use. You can't. There's no way that you'd be able to do this. So, you have to give them something to look forward to every day, just to get through the day. You got to get through the day." Yeah. I said, "All right, tomorrow we're going to open up the hoverboard. You'll give it a try." She's flying around the driveway now like she's Tony Hawk. And then Charlie, because he didn't want to be outdone, he gets on and now he's flying around. I couldn't do it.
I saw you tested it out.
I couldn't do it.
Well, where did he post it on Twitter?
I didn't put it. No. When the people were at our station, that we were all doing it in the hallway. It's hard. I mean, yeah, the unbelievable. Charlie can't even ride a two-wheeler yet, and he's doing it, but she's flying. She tried it once. She goes, "I can't do this." Got back again, said she couldn't do it. Then she, like, rigged up some way that she could get on it, and she used her little scooter that she has as a balance, and then she took off, and now she's an expert at it.
Wow.
I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed in that.
So was I.
Because it's hard to just balance yourself, and you eventually figure it out. But
it took me a second to get good at it. I forgot. I don't even know what happened to mine. I was so into it for a while.
Wish they were able to figure it out, man, because that was a cool thing. I know you're right, not every company, but that's what happened.
You know what else they could have been better about? They could have been smaller, but there are a lot of things like them now, I think, that are better.
Did you see the guy over the weekend who, you know, I guess he's some kind of scientist and was obsessed with Back to the Future, that he really did do a hoverboard? Like, he has a jetpack on his back and had a skateboard. And he had two DeLoreans there, and he took off, and he took off as Marty McFly.
What do you mean, though? But did it actually hover?
Well, because of the jetpack, he was hovering over the ground with his feet like on a skateboard.
Why did we drop the ball with the jetpack? What happened, Michael?
Yeah, wasn't it the first Super Bowl?
First Super Bowl halftime show, first Super Bowl. If I'm not mistaken, this is 67 now. All right, halftime show, guys, like skyrocketing in the air on these jetpacks. Where are they?
They 50 went the
years
way
later, where are they? Well, we created the technology, and now we're not going to distribute it to people. I want a jetpack around.
They don't want traffic in the air. They've got traffic on the streets now.
But they've had 50 years to figure it out. There's traffic on the streets. Now we could be taken to the air. They have the technology. Why aren't they using it? Look at this, Super Bowl one. I'm not saying that's the greatest halftime show in the world, but, you know, I think the people that were watching that were figuring, boy, I hope I'm alive in 87 so I can have that. Well, now it's 2020. We still don't have it.
It's wrong.
Wait, this guy did this whole thing where he wears a jetpack and gets on a skateboard deck with no wheels and gets they bring the DeLorean out there.
Right.
But he doesn't actually do anything but, like, hover next to it. Oh, no, he did. Or he jumped over it.
Yeah.
But he jumped over it because of the jetpack, not the hoverboard. Shouldn't we have the technology to that movie's 35 years ago. Why are we caught up to what's happening there?
You know, it's not real, Don, right?
My point is that, you know what? Star Trek got it right. We do have phones like that now. Matter of fact, we've exceeded the flip phone and are now doing smartphones.
There are parts of Back to the Future, Don, Back to the Future 2 that exist now. It's just not anything cool. It's not cool. Like, the FaceTime is there.
But did you want, when you were young, because you were only six, but the first time that you watched Back to the Future, what, the early 90s?
What, me?
Yeah.
I saw two probably when it came out, which was 89.
Hey, Doc! Yeah. We got to go back and fix the Saints game, Doc. Right,
the Cubs beat the Marlins in the World Series, or the team from Miami or whatever. But when you watch that, wouldn't you think, boy, I would think that by the time we get to 2020, we're going to have a hoverboard where I can skateboard without wheels? Aren't you disappointed?
Hey, when I was really disappointed was when they came out and everyone started talking about hoverboards, and I see it's not a hoverboard. It's an electronic thing with wheels. That was probably what upset me the most. So U.S. Soccer has considered repealing the ban on players kneeling. Sources told ESPN that the board of directors is going to meet on Tuesday on teleconference to discuss the policy.
That policy exists in the NBA too, right?
Yeah. They have a strict rule about standing.
Going back to the Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Exactly.
Right? Chris Jackson, you and me.
He would have been good for a trivia question, although apparently he would have gotten it. ESPN released the trailer for Long Gone Summer, the 30 for 30 on Maguire and Sosa and the 1998 home run battle. That's what's up next. You guys excited?
I'll watch that.
I would like to watch that, yes. Very much
I think that
so.
May excite me the most of the ones that have come recently.
Even more than Jordan?
No. I mean post-Jordan. I mean more than Lance Armstrong or Bruce Lee.
You know what I'm looking forward to? King of Staten Island.
Are you?
Did you see the reviews it got today?
No, good?
Oh, my God. Like 5 stars.
Wow, really?
They said it was unbelievable how good it was.
That's the Pete Davidson vehicle.
Yep. And Judd
Apatow. It looks like it's going to be tremendous. And that'll be easy, right? I don't have to go to the theater to see it.
That's right.
But Bill Burr is in it.
Oh, yeah, Burr has a big part in it.
Yeah, he plays the guy who dates his mom.
Pete stopped talking to me 2 years ago. I'm out.
Yeah, I should be. You know what? I'm not going to watch the movie because of that.
I'll be there. I'll watch.
Pete bailed on me. I'm bailing on Pete.
Why he bailed on you.
Oh, my God. It was one of the dumbest fallouts I've had with anyone. I've had a lot of dumb fallouts. That's high-level dumb. It's too bad. I want to see the movie. I might have to protest.
The thing I took from last night's Bruce Lee, the Be Water, is that Kung Fu was supposed to be starring Bruce Lee. How that would have been awesome. Kung Fu's great to begin with, but, you know, it would have been nice if they had somebody of that persuasion play the character, and that was the deal.
But so
they didn't feel that he was marketable enough.
David Carradine.
So David Carradine did it. Bruce Lee would have been unbelievable in that.
Let's hear from Brian Windhorst at sea.
Space.
Or it could be space. I'm not sure.
Windhorst in space!
Right, space. All right.
Yeah. Talking about
watching Space Force, Don.
Talking about how some players approved the deal without seeing the, quote, bubble city.
Talked to some league executives who are surprised that the players approved this method, approved this bubble, without having seen these protocols because there's going to be some things in here that are hard to get your mind around. You know, one of the things that There's not going to be any friends or family allowed in until after the first round of the playoffs, which is going to be 7 weeks from when the teams arrive in Orlando. And just being blunt, that means no wives or girlfriends for 7 weeks. Not to mention, it appears as if there's not going to be drug testing. Also, there's simple things like protocols of what hotel you're in, whether you're able to get a suite or not, what somewhat curfew hours could be, and also as simple as when can you go to the pool? If the hotel is full of people, you can't have everybody going to the pool at the same time for social distance rules. This is going to be an incredible series of wake-up calls when this document is released.
But the positive is that's how badly they want to go back and play. Right?
Yeah. Why? Maybe it seems this setup, maybe it sounds more fun for the players. I wonder if there are players that as much as they're bummed out and they'll miss their families, there is a layer to it that's like, this is going to be kind of fun, too. You don't have to worry about that much.
Listen, 7 weeks.
All they have to do is play basketball and hang out with their teammates and relax, and they can drink up a storm. They're not driving anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They can do their thing.
Well, I think that's what it is, Peter, is that they want to play. Now, they might be taken aback by some of the protocols when it's all said and done, but they want to play, and they knew, baseball knew, that this was likely the way it was going to go, right? There weren't going to be any fans. I think hockey and basketball knew right away that when they come back, it was going to be in some bubble city, someplace. So they couldn't have been surprised. I mean, you can't let families in because then how are you supposed to? Would you want your family to be there? I'll ask you that, Michael. If you were going to be in a bubble city for 7 weeks, would you feel comfortable that your family would be there and other families would be there? Or would you be like, you know, I'd rather you just stay home where you're going to be okay, where you've been sequestered for the last 3 months anyway? Why bring the whole family out?
When the Arizona thing was being bandied about with baseball, I asked Jody, if the broadcasters go, would you want to go? And she said, yeah, and I agree. I'd rather have my family with me there because everything is controlled and the environment is controlled. Probably True. More controlled than where we are right now. Yeah, I would want my family.
But here's the
issue.
But
I'm not playing either.
And the NBA season is such, when it starts July 31st, after 4 weeks, in theory, school could be starting places.
But here's the issue, Peter and Michael, with the it's controlled, but think of how much more difficult it's going to be controlling it if all the players brought their families.
Well, if they can't go anywhere, it's controlled.
Yeah, but there's still a lot more people to have to then control. Because, you know, what if, again, it's just like you're there, you're playing, but what if somebody in the family gets sick and has to be taken to the hospital? Then they can't come back in. You know, right. or somebody's family member gets sick. You're just when you would literally be doubling the amount of people in the bubble, which means you're doubling the number of opportunities in which something can happen, where somebody's going to be forced to leave and then not come back, or could get sick, or have to more people have to keep an eye on. It makes it a logistical nightmare. And the reason that they're in after the first round is because then you're getting rid of half the players.
Woj, by the way, said that's not the only concern that exists for the NBA. Those teams who aren't coming back, the 8 teams, including the New York Knicks, who will not be participating in this part of the season, are not thrilled about having a 10-month layoff.
The 8 teams who were left out, they're in constant talks right now with the league about giving them some opportunities in this offseason to get together and play and get access again, you know, especially the rebuilding young teams. They're talking about mini summer leagues, mandatory training camps, and OTAs, similar to football, at some different regional sites where teams can get together and maybe practice against each other, have some scrimmage games. That's got to be collectively bargained with the Players Association.
So, doesn't seem like an issue.
I'll tell you what, the Knicks have an advantage, though. They can go look for a coach right now and hire him. And they get a jump on the other 22 teams that are still in the playoffs.
I got to tell
you,
guys,
Thibodeau, give Tom Thibodeau the job right now. Let's get go.
Guys, I got to tell you, I still don't understand the Nest Tea plunge.
You're drinking a nice, refreshing iced tea.
Right.
On the side of the pool.
Right.
And then you fall backwards into the pool with the drink.
Why?
Because it's the Nest Tea plunge.
All right.
But think about how refreshing. It's 106 in the shade. Okay? Falling backwards into a pool sounds like a pretty good idea. Very refreshing, right? Sure. You imagine how that would feel. The nice, cool pool, it's 106 in the shade.
Right.
Well, that's what drinking the Nest tea, iced tea, would make your body feel.
So that's what they're trying to do. But then people actually did it. They would actually do the plunge. It was like a challenge in the pre-challenge days.
Yes.
Wow. It was everything was awkward in the 80s, Peter.
Although I will tell you one thing about watching Back to the Future this weekend. It's just so funny that in the 90s and early 2000s, if you watch Back to the Future, you would think every outfit is like ridiculous in the 80s. And now when you see Marty, Marty looks great. He looks so fashionable right now. The jean jacket, the vest, everything he did was fire.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.